Latin, yes. So we would, I did art. I've forgotten all about my cup. Have you finished yours?
Almost, yeah. Were there any sort of other things about sort of Peel that were sort of distinctive? Sort of like the Herring Girls. And do you remember the Kipper Yards? The various sort of Kipper Yards?
Yes. What they call Moors now.
Yes.
Moors Kipper. That was Kelsall's.
Right.
KELSALL. And it's an English firm, I think, because it used to only open up in the summertime when the herring were there. It was all closed up in the wintertime. And down Castle Street, next door to the merchant house.
Oh, yes.
Next door to that we used to be the old town hall.
Right.
Across the road there's a gated, well, there's a little park place being made there. Well, next to that there's a gateway. In behind that was the Kipper Yard.
Right.
That was Moore's Kipper Yard originally, because old Tommy Moore, who had that shop, that was his kipper shop,
right.
And he smoked the herring in behind there. Down on the Shore Road, bottom of Factory Lane, there's some new cottages being built, cottage built 20 odd years ago. That used to be a fish shop, Kegs.
Right.
In behind that, he had a kipper yard in there.
Right, yes.
Was there another one? Kegs and Moors and Kelsons. I think they were the sort of the originals, the original kipper yards that I can remember.
And did they?
I was going to say up in Factory Lane, but no, it wasn't. It was just the store up there. What else about the kippers? Well, that's about the only ones that I can remember.
I was going to ask if they used to employ local people. Or it was sort of people going round with the sort of herring.
I think that the girls, some of them were perhaps local, but some of the girls were imported.
Right.
Yeah, the kipper girls.
Yes.
They used to come over specially to do. They'd probably go from Yarmouth or somewhere around to the Isle of Man and follow the herring around the British Isles, I suppose, as the gutter girls did.
Yes.
I think perhaps over the years one or two of the kipper girls may have sort of married and lived and stayed in Peel, but I think they were originally, most of them were imported to sort of just do the herring, and then they used to be fascinating the way they used to slip the knife up there. They're probably more likely to cut their hands rather than the gutter girls were with a knife. Because they were so slick, and then the Peel used to be under a pall of kipper smoke then, but nobody ever objected to it. It was something that they were used to, and there was a big chimney with smoke coming from the brickworks anyway, in those days as well, which was right next door to the kipper yard, to Kelsall kipper yard anyway. Well, they were each on each side of the railway line.
I was going to ask, were there many sort of tourists in Peel?
Were
there many tourists in Peel? I mean, sort of coming down to see the fishing port.
There was a toilets.
Tourists.
Tourists.
Yeah, tourists.
every little house actually took tourists in those days. I even remember visitors staying in our house and in the shop when they were sort of pushed for space. But certainly all the terraces and the promenade and houses in Patrick Street, you know, those biggish houses in Patrick Street, I'm sure they all took visitors in. Perhaps some of the bigger houses at the top of Glenfarne Road too. But certainly Peveril Terrace and Victoria Terrace and Mount Morrison and along the Shore Road, Douglas Street, I think there were people in Douglas Street too. I don't know what did Market Street or Castle Street or any of those places. I wouldn't think they would be down there. But certainly most of the town of those days.
So what sorts of things were there for the tourists to do in Peel?
Nothing. Just watch the fish. Well, I don't know, in those days the sun seemed to always shine, you know. And there was a well, pre-war, not very early on, they had a putting green and a miniature golf course and a bowling green up on the headlands above where the swimming baths.
Yes.
Well, the swimming baths were very popular in those days down at Tripagorg along the headlands. Yes. They were very popular, and Fenella Beach was very popular in those days. And Peel Golf Course was of course going in those days. And the houses in Tindall Road, what is now Bala Wattleworth Nursing Home, that used to be Woodville. That was a big boarding house. And I remember as a boy taking goods from the shop, going up there, pushing up the hill on a truck. And the big houses in Bala Quain, you know, the first two or three houses there. And where else did they stay? The headland houses, I think, you know, the big three big headland houses. Well, in the summertime, there used to be, year after year after year, the same families used to come on holiday in Peel. And all the husbands used to seem to be golfers. Well, they used to come, there was a little clubhouse in Peel, there was no license or anything like that. But they used to come meet them. There must have been 20, 30 every day in the summertime. And they used to play golf. And then at lunchtime, 12 o'clock, they used to parade right down to the Peveril Hotel, you know, the one that's down by the Salt House. They used to walk all the way down from the golf club, right down there for their pre-lunch pints.
Right.
And then they would go home, have a sleep in the afternoon and play golf again in the evening and finish up down at the Pebble again.
Right.
Down in Corny Kay, as they used to call it. Because Corny Kay himself was a golfer.
Right.
And I remember the odd time that I could get away from the shop when I was a kid, going up to be a caddy, get a shilling for a round. but a lot of visitors came to Peel in those days.
Did people spend a lot of time on the beach? I've seen photographs of sandcastle competitions
Yes, and there used to be sports in the castle.
Right.
In the summertime, I think they used to have sports every Thursday afternoon in the castle. And I'm not sure were they free, was it threepence or something. And the visiting kids and the local kids when the schools were on holiday, there used to be dozens of people over there in what they call the, what was it called? The artillery ground or the parade ground or something it was called. There's the long sort of low space, there's banks on each side of it, and it was about 100 and so yards long. was just convenient for 100-yard races. And certainly the Peel shore would be black with people.
Right.
And not only is sort of the visitors staying, but the visitors coming in those
yes.
days with, I can remember coming in with landaus and two horses.
Right.
And down on the shore road, by telling you about the bark pit in behind the stables, the house is still there. It was called the Imperial Restaurant, I think,
yes.
in those days. Well, at the other side of that, there was, I think the gateway is still there. They had stables for the horses to be stabled while the visitors had their lunch
right.
in there. And I had one or two big landaus there. And there would be a man there to look after them. And there used to be an old lady, her name was Mary Quilliam, used to stand on the step of the restaurant. There were two, I think it was two houses put together, and there were two doors. She used to stand on the steps of one, and she used to say, "Lambs gambling in the fields yesterday, on our tables today. Full lunch, three-course lunch, 1 and 6.
Good value, yes.
Yeah. And the other place was on the corner of Queen Street and the Shore Road. That was a well-known restaurant in those days. And the Marine
yes.
did very well in those days, too. The Craig Mallon was quite a posh residential hotel in those days, run by two ladies. What was their name? Reed, the Mrs. Reed, R-E-I-D.
Right.
I remember that. And then I served my time learning to play snooker over there.
Right.
And when the place started to go down a bit. The landlord then was a man named Ellis. So I was going to tell you about something else too. Oh yes, where Dickie Crane has his car showroom
yes.
on the promenade
yes.
itself now. That used to be the Albert Hall.
Right.
It was a cinema.
All right.
from the first time the First War started,
yes.
I presume. And when I was, just before I went to Douglas, I must have been 9, 10.
Yes.
Used to go in there, and wooden seats, wooden forms. And used to be tuppence, I think. And the projectionist was a man named Howard Hughes. And he used to have silent films on a Saturday afternoon, and the noise it used to be full of kids. I think it was tuppence, and it was Howard Hughes' cinema, the Albert Hall, and it went for a long time, and then it became a little variety theatre for a while after that. And then it became a badman court, and then it became a car showroom, or spraying cars,
right.
a car spray place first, and then Dickie Crane took it over eventually and knocked it down and put
yep.
a new place there. Yes, that was, I suppose I can remember that from about 1918,
right.
with the Howard
yes.
Hughes. Cinema. I wasn't supposed to be there. Oh, Saturday afternoon I was supposed to be at the shop, I suppose.
Oh, right, yeah.
Nip off and go to Howard Hughes. I don't know whether there's anything else about it.
So I was just going to ask what other sort of things you did for sort of, you know, sort of social life in Peel when you were younger.
There wasn't very much. The chapels used to have sort of Wesley Gills and that kind of thing, but the boys, we weren't very interested in that. And I don't know, we used to play around in the streets, not any mischief, just sort of playing games around in the streets until it got too dark and it was time to go home.
What sorts of games did you used to play in the streets?
Well, just sort of chasing around, or in the summer we used to have iron hoops with a crook and run around TT race time, you know, running around. We were TT races with cardboard number time.
Where did you used to get your iron hoops? Was that from the local blacksmith?
Blacksmith, and you used to make jumps, you know, put a stone somewhere and it would bounce up and eventually it would break. Well, you used to have to go down to the blacksmith and to get it spliced.
Right.
And there were two blacksmiths. There was one on the mill road where the gasworks is, next door to the gasworks, and there was one on the quay side, just in round the corner from where the restaurant on the corner, you know, the creek.
Yes.
Then this restaurant is on the corner. Well, that in the old days, that used to be a joiner's workshop before it was built up. And then next door to that was a smithy.
Right.
That was Quilliam's smithy. And the other one was Watterson's smithy. Herbert Watterson, who lives in Peel, his grandfather had that smithy in the Mill Road. And Herbert's father worked there as a blacksmith. And then eventually there was another blacksmith opened up a smithy behind the, you know where the White House is?
Yes.
There's a big yard there. Right at the back of the yard there was a smithy opened up there, a chap named Harry Quirk. So you had three then to go for to get your hoop spliced.
Did it cost very much, or were you able to do sort of work for him to pay off?
Oh, I think he used to just do it. I think so. Now, I don't think we had any money to pay him. No, I don't think so.
Did you used to play games like jacks and marbles?
The girls did. Right. The girls used to play jacks, and we used to play not marbles as such. We used to collect marbles and sort of try and play, but we never played a regular game of marble, not that I can remember. But the girls certainly played jacks and hopscotch, and I can remember that. And I know they're very much. We used to walk up to Ballacrane and Beleg Bridge for the TT races. We used to have to walk in the morning, you know, in the morning practices. Used to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning and walk up to Ballacrane and walk back again and go to school.
Right. So about how old would you have been then when you first started walking up for the races?
Oh, about 10, I suppose. Couldn't have been. Yes, because I wasn't able to do it when I went to Douglas, and I certainly used to walk up to Beleg Bridge and the Ballacrane.
What did you used to think of the TT races?
Oh, I used to think they were wonderful. And then my first recollection was being taken up to Beleg Bridge by this uncle, my mother's brother. I don't know, would he be married then or not? He probably, he was a Wesleyan minister, and he must have been home in Peel on holiday. And this was 1920, the first races after the First War. And we walked up, I remember we walked up to Beleg Bridge, up the Poor Town Road. And I can remember standing right beside the rope that went across, and the wall of the bridge was, the level of the wall of the bridge was above my head. I can remember, because it's the level of the bridge has been altered so much over the years. They used to come down from from above Ballycrane down, and there was sort of a bump, and they used to go take off and go through the air for 2 or 3 yards. But then when that became too dangerous, when the speeds got too great and they were jumping too far, the hoverboard then levelled the bump out and they rather spoiled it. So that was my first memory. I can remember they were in sort of tweed shooting coats and peak caps turned back to front and goggles. Some of them had soft leather helmets on and riding breeches and stockings and shoes. They didn't have leather suits or anything like that.
And no boots.
Not then. No leather boots. No. Just shoes and things like that. I remember that. They were belt driven bikes in those days too. They weren't chain driven. That was 1920, and then before they put round the course telephones, they used to have the Boy Scouts every 200 or 300 yards all the way around. Anything happened, one Boy Scout would be there and he would run to the
next
and pass the message. I remember doing that for some years from Belig up to Glen Helen and various places along the Laurel Bank and one thing and another.
Did you often have to do anything?
Once I had to actually do something. Twice I remember smashes. I remember one smash at the S Bend before Laurel Bank. A chap on a dot, I think it was called, hit the cliff side and finished up in the field, over the hedge in the field. And I can remember coming upon him, and that there was somebody there with him, but he was putting his finger in his mouth and he was taking teeth out. Blood everywhere.
Yes.
And he was just lying there, and I used to know his name, but I've forgotten it now. And then another year, I was on duty at Laurel Bank, and there was a policeman there, Peel policeman, Albert Bell, and a chap on a sunbeam came off, and he was English, but he was came from what was then the Federated Malay States, which is now Malaya. He came up there and he was knocked unconscious. And he had all the side of his face had sort of rubbed along on the gravel. And about 100 yards up on the other side of the road there was a cottage of Mrs. Smith. And I had to take him up to Mrs. Smith's and put him in the house. And this policeman gave me the ambulance, the first aid bag. He says, "Here, yes, sir, you." And he had all these things scarified, all this down one side of his face, his head, and he was wearing a crash hat in that time, and his hand was all scarified. So I had to try and patch him up, and he kept sort of going off, and he was lying on a leatherette couch.
Yes.
And then when he did came around, he said to me, "The last thing I remember is coming down Bray Hill."
That was quite a way before,
I saw all the way through to Laurel Bank. Mine was completely blank about that. So I don't know how we got back to Douglas. I sort of was, when the race is finished, I sort of left them there. Somebody picked them up. And I don't know what, but I can't remember his name now either, but I remember he came from the Federated Malay States. That's what it was called in those days. Yeah.
One last thing I was going to ask you was that when you were talking about the salt house, you were saying about the time you went in and there was rats everywhere. And most people now say that you shouldn't talk about rats, you should talk about long tails.
Yes.
So I was going to ask about superstitions, about when you were young, were there many superstitions? Or was it something that other people did and you weren't bothered?
Sort of rats and long tails, never sort of worried me. I don't really ever remember hearing anything about it until sort of recent times. But what I do remember is I used to tease my grandmother. She used to wear, you know, spectacles. And when the new moon was out, I used to tell her to go out in the yard and look at the moon. And she would go out and I would get a cloud across the ear for doing that.
Because she was looking at it through glass.
Through, yes, she didn't want them to look at the moon through glass. I was a devil for doing that. Looking your hat for the fairies, of course. Throw salt over your shoulder. If you spill the salt, throw salt over your left shoulder.
Do you remember if the fishermen had any sort of superstitions?
Yeah, they did. But they did want to be the third boat, I think. They didn't want to be the third boat. They didn't want to go to sea on a... Was it a Saturday or Sunday night?
Sunday.
They wouldn't go to sea on Sunday at all. There was something else too. What was it? Well, there was something about a Friday. But I can't remember what that was now. No, it was gone. Completely. Didn't step on cracks on the pavement.
All right.
Used to spit somewhere too for something. What was that? Well, it was always unlucky to see one magpie.
Oh, yes.
Remember somewhere after you go. But the old Manx people were very superstitious.
But it had already started to sort of not be so superstitious by the time you were a child. By the time you were a child, a lot of the superstitions weren't being sorted.
Oh, yes. The kids don't know anything about it these days. And they're not taught very much Mingus history in school either. Well, even when all the time that I was at Ballycomeen, I don't think Mingus history was taught.
Were you taught much Manx history when you were a child?
Not very much, no. Not really. I don't know why they a little bit of Manx geography probably, but you pick up far more sort of after you leave school and go around than you ever did in school, but certainly about the Isle of Man.
Are there any things that you remember in particular from when you were sort of at school in Peel at the Peel cloth workers?
Well, all the Peel schools that I went to were all knocked down now.
Shoprite
is there now. I went to the infant school where the town hall is now.
Yes.
I went there. And I was... They talk about sort of primary education and pre-school education. I was sent to school when I was three.
Right.
Out of the shop. I was just a nuisance getting under their feet in the shop. And I was sent sent to school. I don't know, was I taken or what? I must have been taken at three. I would hardly walk up there by myself. I remember being collected at the school gate sometimes, but I don't remember who by. I don't think it would be my mother. And I remember being in Peel School. I remember some of the teachers. I remember a Miss Quayle and up in the junior school there was Miss Muchton, Caddy Muchton, and Miss Christian. She was the sort of headmistress in charge of the junior school, and there was just standards 1, 2, and 3 there. And who was the other Miss Christian, Miss Quayle, Miss Muchton? And then I remember I was moved then from standard 3 to standard 5, Miss Standard 4, and standard 5 had a lady teacher. What was her name? There would be 30 odd, I suppose, boys and girls in this, and this is in the cloth workers. Yes. It was the centre classroom in the big block. And it must have been the summertime because the windows were open. And I don't know what we were doing, arithmetic or something. And there was a girl named Kitty Quirk. And the teacher had to tell her off about something or other. And without it, she was sitting at the wall beside the window. Without it, she up and out through the window.
Right.
Off home. I can remember that so well. I would be 11. Yeah. About 11 then. Yes, I remember that. And No, I couldn't have been. I must have been 10 then. Because from standard 5 I went to standard 6. And standard 6 was a man named Sugden was the teacher. And somewhere about the house I've got a photograph of that class taken in 1923. Well, by this time I would be 11. And I used to have to do messages from the shop in between at the lunchtime. This day I was late coming back to school. School started, I think, at 1:25, and I was about 1:25. Came in through the boys' entrance into the big hall, and the headmaster was P.C. Moore, and he was standing waiting. He must have been waiting for me. And he had a cane, and he got a hold of me, and why was I late and all the rest of it? Well, I tried to explain, and he wasn't very happy about it, and he wanted to give me the cane. Well, I objected to this, and I wouldn't hold my hand out, and we had quite a tussle for a while, and I finished up being locked in a classroom upstairs, which was never used.
Right.
It was called the... used to call it the science room, but we never ever did any science up there. But anyway, that was my last year in Peel School. So, I don't remember that. 1923, that was P.C. Moore. He was famous for his music.
Right.
And then after that year, 23-24, it became from an ordinary elementary school, Peel became a central school. And they taught French, amongst other things, which they didn't do when I was there. And they, instead of just coming from Peel, they started coming in from St. John's, Glenmay, Patrick, and from Derby and Glenmay and Patrick, and I think from St. John's, because they used to walk in from Knocksharry.
Right.
And Lurgy Doo, in ordinary circumstances, even the tiny kids used to walk in from there. But they came in from the other side as well. And yes, I remember that was the year that we started to go to Douglas. So we missed out on that. And that was the year that Mr. Hill became the headmaster in PM, and PC Moore retired. So all that's left of that clothwork school, the top part of the school, is the house where the headmaster used to live, which is
right,
the house is still there. I think they're going to knock that down now and
do something
about it, I think, but ShopRite. Yeah. But all the rest is gone. All the little room, which is the medical centre or something now.
Yes.
The end where in the ShopRite yard, this end, that was the girls' cookery.
Oh, right.
And the other half was the boys' joinery.
Right.
We used to do woodwork in there. Ordinary woodwork. And remember there was a lathe. I made a rolling pin for my mother, baker's work, on a lathe that you worked with your foot on a piece of string that turned the roller. Yeah, remember that.
Do you remember it being sort of strict when you were at school? Because a lot of people say about how strict it was when they were at school. Do you remember it just being?
Yes, the canes were used every day. Or if you were small in the junior school, it was a ruler across your knuckles.
Right. Was that a wooden or a steel?
A wooden ruler, yes. Or a smack on your arm. Mm. Pull your sleeve up and give you a smack. Oh, yeah, there was plenty of corporal punishment in those days. Not just one hand, but two, three, four sometimes. And the girl, even the girls, they were the teachers of no respect for persons. some of them were very good, and others were, they could be quite vicious. But they were mostly lady teachers in those days. There weren't many men.
Yes.
There was PC Moore, who was the head. And there was Sugden, who had the standard six, and took the joinery classes. And I don't remember another man teacher in the school. They were all ladies. What else have I got? I've got a memory. It was a Sunday. I think it was a Sunday school anniversary of the Wesley. And I was in a white lace suit, so I must have been, four or something like that. And I was discovered underneath the bridge going over the top of the harbour, down underneath, on the mud, with somebody who was fishing for eels.
So you'd managed to disappear from
I think that was why I was sent to school so young, because I used to have a habit of disappearing. Because I suppose the official age for the infants would be five in those days too, but this was 3 years. I've told my aunts used to tell me that I used to, but not my mother didn't say very much, but they were maidenettes in those days. They used to play hell with me because I used to run away.
Right.
But I was one of four.
And you were the eldest.
I was the eldest, and the three sisters. The baby, she was only about 18 months when my father died. And the next sister would be about 2.5, and the next sister would be about 4.5, and I was 6. So this one, I've got one sister still alive. The next sister to me and the younger sister, they're both dead. But my other sister, she lives in Greasby on the Wirral, and she's got a large family. She had two sets of twins.
Right.
And twin boys and a girl in between.
Yes.
They've all got families. She's got about 14 grandchildren, and God knows how many great grandchildren she has.
Right.
Talk on the phone sometimes. So she's a widow. Her husband died some years ago. So she's coming over to the island in July, I think.
Right.
Coming to stay. She's been the cottages that used to be at Lurgidhu that be turned into holiday apartments now. Just before the old railway crossing.
Oh, yes.
She and some of her family have taken one of those for a couple of weeks in the summertime. So, I don't know, have I got any memories left or not?
Right. Oh, thank you ever so much.
Well,
That's been fascinating. Thanks. I'll just switch this off. Thank you.
It's great a pleasure talking.